soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, and also on 92.5, we thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can get the podcast for this show at ESPN 97.5. .com. And when you hit those podcasts, well, it's good for our sponsors. That's good for our show. Quick word for our friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown. I love the BMW. I've had 5 Series from them, 3 Series, X5 now. Love it. Can throw the bike in the back, the dog in there. Advantage BMW will take you through sales, service, finance. You can do it really easy. Getting a 3, a 5, a 7 Series, getting an SUV. Get down to Advantage BMW in Midtown. You talk to Justin or Steven. Okay, Justin or Steven, that's who you talk to, and you will get yourself in the ultimate driving machine. All right, Houston Dynamo defender Adam Lundquist joining us now. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Glenn?
Very good. Thank you for coming on the show. I know you guys are in the midst of preseason, double sessions. Just give us a little bit of flavor about you know, how it's going so far and the freshness of a new coach and staff.
It's going great. It's been a tough first week, and now I just kicked off the second week with, like you said, double session. So, a lot of trainings, but overall, really, really good trainings. It's been nice to meet, all the new staff, the guys that's been here for a while, and it's just good to be back, really. And it feels like a new fresh breeze in the facility at HSP right now. So it's very nice to be back.
What'd you do in the off season? How did you reboot yourself? Obviously, you know, was not a good season yet last year, for really being honest. What did you do in the off season to kind of reboot yourself both mentally and physically?
I kind of took the first 2 weeks to, I did some vacation here in Texas for the first time, drove around and got to explore this state, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And, then I got home and just spent a lot of time with my friends and family, really, and worked out a lot, tried to be fit when I came back, because I knew this year is going to be, like I said, so many new stuff. I wanted to make sure I was ready. So went back, enjoyed time with family and friends, worked out, and had a bunch of Swedish food.
Very nice stuff. So before I get to the Swedish food, real quick, where did you drive in Texas? Because I'm a big road trip guy. I drove to New Jersey during the pandemic, and I just think it's amazing when you drive, you just get a different perspective.
Yeah, no, we drove all the way like to San Antonio, past San Antonio, and just, you know, kind of went out there to see some beautiful like landscapes. There's so much to see, and just you could like, this country is amazing when you say just road trips. Like, you can go anywhere by car. And like Houston, like Texas, I mean, it's so big. So I don't know. We checked in at a hotel outside of San Antonio and just drove around for a bit. And just going out there, you see, you know, valleys and like, I don't know about mountains, but like, oh, everything. We stayed at a beautiful resort by a golf course. And I couldn't really imagine, like, I couldn't believe that this was Texas. You know, it was really beautiful. So we went on a small road trip. We didn't go all the way to New Jersey. So we kept it in state, but it was really, really nice to just explore some more in this beautiful state we live in.
All right. Now to switch it back to preseason, is there a sense among the guys? Yes, it's fresh. It's new. It's exciting. But also, hey, we all have to establish ourselves to a new coach and a new staff.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, it's the first, like, meeting the coaching staff in the beginning. You know, everything is going to be new. They want to implement their ideas. And like you say, some familiar faces in the team, but just this whole kind of, like you said before, like a little, like you press reset, like everyone comes in here with like a clean slate, and it's up to yourself to prove that you belong here and that you belong in the team and you belong in the starting 11. So I feel like But I just feel like the whole vibe in the training facility and like in the organization is very I would say it's very ambitious, and I really just like the first time I would say since I moved here that this is really a really really fresh start. It's basically a new organization from the top to bottom, and with some new faces almost everywhere. So it's very very exciting, and you feel like you have to come here and you have to really show that you want to be a part of this. And I like that.
Here's the Dynamo defender, Adam Lundqvist, joining us. You know, did the guys get it that, look, it's the new owner who's, you know, brought in Pat Onstad, who's giving him some flexibility financially. He's, you know, created a new technical and sporting director position. I mean, these are things that did not occur in the past. You got an under 23 team here now. It's a lot of big change in a lot of ways. Did the guys get that? Do you think the guys get that? I know you do, but do the guys get that overall, you think?
I think so. Like this whole, I think, like you said, there's a lot of structural stuff happening in the team and organization that I feel is moving in the exactly the right way. Like I said, with under 23 teams, the stuff we're doing here at the facility, and like you say, you see the new owner and Pat, like they want to implement their ideas. And I feel like we all have an understanding for it. We're definitely going to be, like, so some guys maybe need more time, but I feel like we're mostly, like all of us are already there. And I mean, from just this first week of training, I really feel that the energy is here already. And from the coaching staff to all the players to the guys at the front office, it's just like everyone wants to make this right. And we want to be better and improve.
Initial thoughts on Paulo Nagamura as a coach. What type of coach is he? You know, is he an autocratic coach, democratic? Is he talking to a lot of people? Is he shouting? Give us a little insight.
I feel like he is a very down-to-earth guy. Like, you know, he can talk to anyone, as I feel like. I think he talked to almost everyone too. But then just, I feel like he is this kind of like non-negotiable when it comes to how we're going to play. And I really like that. He has a different view of what we're used to. So I think a lot of us have to adapt to his style of playing. And like I say, the way he wants to play is non-negotiable. Yeah, exactly. Good one. Thank you.
Well, I thought that's what you just said.
That's what I was going for. I couldn't find the word. But no, exactly. And I feel like that's a good thing. And that's what's needed, because if we're going to implement change, we're going to have someone that's really stick to their idea and really true to themselves. And I feel like he is that type of guy. And also the whole staff he has surrounding him is a very good group of guys, down to earth, very just, you know, you can talk to them as normal human beings. They're really good guys. And I feel like that's really what we needed. And it's very exciting going forward.
All right. So I'm going to take you back. Being an interviewer, I have to go back to something you just said, playing the way he wants to play. Tell me what that is, and then how is that different from Tab Ramos and the last staff?
I think from the former, like what we've done in the past, it's been a lot of fast, like a lot of, like we still want to be a pressing team, but I think just this possession with a purpose. I think Paulo wants to be more possession orientated than maybe Tab was. Tab was more always playing forward. He was very direct as a coach. He wanted to hurt the opponents fast, while Paulo is maybe a little bit more of, you know, keeping possession, making the other team suffer, and then find the right situation and the right moment to go forward. So that's the, you know, the purpose part of the whole possession thing, like keeping possession but not be passive, because we want to hurt the opponents. But I think also here in Houston in the summer, to be a team that controls the ball, controls the tempo, it could really hurt the other team. While I felt like before it was a big challenge, because it was very physically demanding to press and to always go very direct. It was very challenging in the heat here. So I think it could be a good idea to be more of a possession-oriented team. But we still have to have an edge. Otherwise, the risk is just we're going to pass the ball around. We need to have a purpose. And I think that's the biggest difference from what I can tell from this first 1.5 week.
Talking to Houston Dynamo left back Adam Lundqvist from Sweden, played there with Elfsborg, played in the Olympics with the Swedish Olympic team. Very impressive. Now I'm going to go back to last year again, if you don't mind, because Todd Ramos was a big fan of yours. I know that. And I did hear him repeatedly say that we're just not a good enough possession team. Could that direct nature, did you see that direct nature change because maybe he didn't have a lot of faith in the possession game, or was that, is that the way he wanted to play from the word go?
No, I think there's, I mean, all types of reasons why that didn't work out that well. But I think, like, it was just he wanted to play very fast. And I think he was a very, like I said, pressing was and being very proactive, being very, you know, a very energetic team. And he wanted, because we have a lot of players that are fast and with pace. And he wanted to kind of give those guys a chance to run in behind and get the ball to them fast. And like I said, here now, maybe I feel like you can still get to that point, giving them a lot of good looks and a lot of good chances 1v1. And now I think it was just more about, from Tan's points, it was more about individual, like left it very much into the individual part of the game, like a lot of 1v1 situations, a lot of just getting the ball out quick. And then the wingers have to do the job. You have to do your job against the opponent you play. While now I feel like it's going to be a whole picture where the whole team has to contribute, and it's going to be about moving the ball, finding the right moments to go forward, and then get these players that we want to get in good positions to do the most creative part and just, you know, try to figure out a way to score goals. But in order to get there, we're going to be able to move the ball and just make the opponent suffer.
How about yourself personally? I know you got forward. You got into the final third last year quite a bit. I know you want to get more assists and things. You've got a new striker now to deal with. You know, is that an element of your game where you say, look, I want bigger numbers this year. I want to score a couple goals. You know, I want to get 6, 7, 8, 9 assists this year. You know, is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I am my toughest critics and myself, and I really want to, improve on that part. I want to get forward like I always do, but it's also, I mean, it's up to me also to get, you know, better crosses, but also just, I think the way we play will allow, I think being a possession-oriented team will allow, for example, outside backs to get more opportunities to cross the ball and more chances to get it right. Like before, it was more of a, when it was more of a transition game, it was like one or two crosses a game. And if I was lucky, you know, I could make a good pass or the striker could make a good play. If we can, you know, use the possession to pin a defend, like the opposition team into their half, I mean, you can get like 5, 6, 7 crosses a game, and then that will increase the outside backs. I mean, everyone's chances to get an assist or to score a goal. And I think it could be a really good thing for outside backs, but also like wingers and whatever, because we want to control the ball, and having possession on the opposing half will allow us to easily bring the ball back and then also get more chances to cross the ball, get more chances to shoot and all that stuff. So I think it could be a really good thing.
He's Adam Lundqvist, Dynamo left back from Sweden. So, Adam, take me into Sebastian Ferreira and what you've seen from him and some of his instincts, and maybe give our listeners a little bit of a glimpse from your standpoint.
Oh, me! I mean, I've only seen him in training for 2 or 3 days, but I can tell you it's like the stats don't lie. Like, you see why this guy scored so many goals. His first touch and his ability to get a shot off is just one of the quickest I've seen. Like just the ability to like control the ball and then just get a shot off. And he has that striker instinct that I really like, that is just, you know, shoot first, pass second. And that's the type of striker you want. You want to strike. I don't care if a striker shoots 10 times and maybe he should have passed 5 of them times. Like if he scores 3 goals a game, and you know, I don't care. Like they strikers with his quality, they need to finish. They need to shoot. And you see that he has that instinct. And just how also you can see that he's a hardworking player, which I really like. Like in modern football, you can't have like that many passengers off the ball. Like you have to have everyone working. And you see that he's not afraid of doing the dirty work as a striker, to press and to hold the ball and all that stuff. And he moves very, very well. And so I'm really excited, and he's young too. Like he's like 23, and he looks great.
Adam, listen, thank you so much. I know you're on a hard time to get off the air here. Oh, real quick, what's that number one food you eat in Sweden, your favorite?
Oh, dude, I have to say meatballs, obviously.
Swedish meatballs, of course. My mother made a version of them. They weren't very good, though.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much for coming on, Adam, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn.
All right, we appreciate it. That's Adam Lundqvist, Dynamo left back there. That's some great insight from training. Him talking about his own game, the overall team play, plus the addition of Sebastian Ferreira. FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, one Montrose and Westheimer, the other one north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd. Great burgers, chicken sandwich. FM Kitchen and Bar, they got the outdoor patio, lots of monitors where you can watch the Dynamo games this year, the Premier League games, you name it. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. We'll take a break. We have more to come.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Look, we appreciate John and his firm getting soccer on the airwaves. By the way, it's 20 years now we've been doing soccer on the radio. So, you know, we're all pretty proud of that fact. And it's been on a couple of different networks here in Houston. But really, the majority of our stay has been here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And that's aided by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So big thank you all around to the station and our presenting sponsor. It allows us to bring on the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad. Pat, thank you for coming on. I promise you this won't be a 35-minute interview.
You never know. If I start talking, we might be here for a while.
Well, I think everybody's loving the transparency. So I would go right to that. You know, this club was without a face of the franchise. Is that something you're grabbing the mantle to be the face of the franchise when it comes to communication? And like every good business, you got to have it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the face of the franchise. I think people that have known me for a long time know that's just kind of how I operate. I'm pretty open and sometimes to a fault, but I've always felt comfortable talking about my ideas and what I'm thinking about and where I want to go. I don't think there's a lot of secrets out there. So, you know, we're trying to get better. That's the bottom line. And I don't mind describing the process and my thought process, and how to get there. It may change and I'm open to change and having a different method of doing things. But at the same token, I don't mind walking through that thought process.
Pat, you got your striker over the line, Sebastian Ferreira. You got him over the line. What's the next vital priority now for you with this team positionally?
I think there's a couple. There's one is, you know, Seba's a great forward. He's a guy who has excellent movement in the box. He's got a history of scoring goals. He knows how to do that. He works very hard off the ball, gives you a lot of work rate defensively. But he's not a guy that's going to run in behind and pull away from teams. He can still do it and still test the back line, but he's better kind of in front of the defenders. And then his movement in the box is excellent. Then for those type of strikers, to be successful, you got to get them service. So for us, it's twofold. To me, it's two positions. I don't know if it's a 10 per se, but maybe like an 8/10, a guy who can kind of provide a final pass or set up our wingers, our wide play, so they can get crosses in the box. And then I think, one more wide guy as well, one of those two would probably be a YPS player, you know, 22 or younger, one of those initiatives. That's the plan. And from there, we still have a DP spot to go on the other position. So I think it'll depend on the profile of the players that we're looking at, in terms of which one is the DP and which one is the YPS. But, that's what I expect, in the next two signings.
All right. Without that player in house right now, you know, what's the conditions with Darwin Quintero? Look, we know he's a talented soccer player. We do know he's an older soccer player. His contract was redone. You know, have you had a conversation with him? Is he a guy that's going to be someone that comes off the bench against fatiguing defenders? I mean, how do you utilize him until you get that playmaker that you're kind of opting for?
Well, that's one of the reasons we signed him. I think to a certain extent, I think we see the qualities he has offensively. I mean, he's an excellent, excellent player offensively. And those players are very difficult to find, no matter what age you're at. Obviously, clearly, he's probably not in his prime like he was, you know, six years ago or so forth. But what he does offer on the ball is there's very few guys in our league that can do that. So that's one of the reasons we brought him back. We also felt it would buy us a little bit of time to make sure that we got that piece right. So he's a guy I expect to see on the field, and he's fighting for minutes right now in training. I'll give him credit. I think he in the meeting, and I've gone on record in saying that, and he said, I want to be here. This is the club I want to play for. This is where I want to finish my career. This is, I'm excited about what you're selling, and I want to be a part of it. So when you have a player like that, you're excited, especially a guy as talented as him. So now what I would say is give him a lot of credit in the offseason is he's one of the guys he spent the most time of any player in this club here at the HSP and working in the offseason, which I don't know he hasn't done in the past, but he's trying to show and try to prove that he can get on the field and give him as many minutes as possible. So he's fighting for that in the first week here, and it's nice to see him on the field. I mean, he is a talented soccer player.
Yeah, in fairness to you, you obviously weren't here last year, but this was a guy that clearly was not fit. And for him being on that salary, that leaves a little bit of a question mark in the minds of fans as to how bought in he is. But maybe under this new regime, he is. I move on to Coco Karaskia, Pat.
Well, before we go to Coco, I want to go back to Darwin a little bit because, that was something I'd heard not just me. I didn't just challenge him. The high performance department challenged him and said, listen, if you want to be successful and you want to be a part of this team and get on the field, you need to come in here and you need to work in the off season. And, to his credit, he's done that. And you can see in games now, I was just walking up the field watching a five-a-side. And when he gets on the ball, he's always dangerous. So I have to give him a lot of credit. He's so far he's put his money where his mouth is, and hopefully continue that and show it on the field.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear from you. And that's great.
I understand the concern, but there's also a reason we found a price point that I think both parties were happy with, and that's why he's back this year.
Excellent. How about Coco Karaskia? What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, for me, he's a tough one because I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him play. You know, I've seen him train once, and I've seen him play with Panama. That's about it. So, for us, I think for Paulo especially is for him to get an opportunity to watch him, see him train firsthand. The question I would have is, can he be the guy that makes the final pass? If you're playing in a 4-3-3, for example, can he be one of the two guys in the eights positions that can make that final pass? We don't know. I think we'll learn more as we go about this thing here and take our time kind of evaluating what we have and how that will fit into the way Paulo wants to play. But he's a very talented player. His last kind of outing with the national teams in the last hexagonal games, he was outstanding. So we're excited to kind of see him play here these next three games coming up on starting Thursday.
East Houston Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us. Back to the system or the style of play with Paulo Nagamura. We know it's going to be proactive. We've heard you use that word a lot. Is this modeled after the 4-3-3 at Sporting? And, you know, what sort of slight variations do you think we expect from that? And that's if he's determined it at all right now.
Yeah, I think Paulo's still experimenting with that. I think he has a system he's comfortable with. He's obviously been in the Kansas City system. But at the same token, I think a lot of that will depend on personnel and where he feels the best fit is for these guys. When we talk about proactive and how we want to play, and I've got Paulo saying that word now. So if he comes on and he starts saying it,
he
just heard me saying it nonstop, the poor guy. But I would say is, the way he wants to play, the way he wants to press, the way he wants to recover the ball, the way he wants to possess the ball, a lot of that's going to depend on the players that he says, hey, listen, one guy I want to actually kind of call out here is Memo, who has been had an excellent first week. And there's a guy that wasn't happy, wasn't sure if he wanted to be, or wasn't sure of the plan for himself, and has come in with a fantastic attitude and has given everything to Paulo. And Paulo's like, this kid is, he's proving that he should be on the field. So I have to give him Memo credit and Paulo credit that the two of them kind of spoke, and he sees a pathway here to get minutes on the field, which is what Memo ultimately wants.
So Darwin and Memo, some might say they don't fit into a 4-3-3 pressing system. Do you believe if those guys are in your 11, you're going to get enough work ethic out of them to employ that type of a system?
If you're going to press and you're going to try to win the ball back, you're going to have to do that. Now, can Darwin do that for 90 minutes? That remains to be seen. Can Memo do it for 70 to 90 minutes? I don't know. I think there's been guys have seen him enough here in this city to see which one you'd probably put your money on. But at the same token, they're both talented players, and I think they play a major role in us being successful this season.
Pat Onstad, Dynamo General Manager, joining us. Okay, so we didn't touch on the pivot and whether you're going to play with a single, a double pivot, however it's going to come out. But nobody really wanted that job last year. Between Derek Jones, Matias Vera, Darwin Seren, nobody was consistent enough. And you saw it. This team leaked a lot of bad goals.
Yep.
I was a little surprised that you didn't talk about wanting to sign a defining six or somebody that can really make that midfield grow a few inches.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a possibility. I think evaluating Matias has been in here for 2 days. So he took a little while to get in here. Had some medical issues, I guess you'd say. And I don't know if it's been out there, so I don't want to say it out loud. But I think we know what's going on in this world at this stage. So he's a little behind. So we'll have to try to see, get him caught up as quick as possible and evaluate that to see if that's a position he can play on his own. Derek has been obviously in there right now in this last week, trying to show what he can do. Maybe we have to end up going with two sixes, or possibly with, if you have protection of two eights in front of you, is that enough protection that when you're in a low block, maybe you're in a 4-1-4-1? It really will depend on our personnel, and how it'll kind of shape up. But, you're right. Last year, I don't think anyone did kind of grab that position and run with it. I think, Matias obviously, Tab had hoped to try to get him a little higher up the field and felt he could be the guy making the final pass. But we'll see how this goes in preseason.
Yeah, the reason I go there is because it is really the same players, unless you feel there's a way of getting more out of them. I mean, every pretty much combination was tried, you know, last year to the credit of Tab Ramos and trying to get it right.
Yeah, and I think that's where I agree with you. I think it is the same players at this point in time. I'm hoping to try to change that to a certain extent, and hopefully we'll have that the sooner the better. But at the same token, I do think when you have players and a new regime, a new coach, you do often see, especially early on, a nice little bump. The question is, can we sustain it? Can Paulo get the most out of these guys? And we're hoping that he can definitely get a bit of a spike from these guys.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us here. Very excited to have him on the show tonight. This is all great information, as always. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I was always interested, you know, since you've gotten this Sebastian Ferreira signing over the finish line, and I heard some of your quotes and saw some of your quotes, and I find it very interesting. I don't think us in the public understand how these deals go down. There's a lot of probably crazy twists and turns. What about like when you did this with Lucas Zelarayán in Columbus, and you know, what were some of the hurdles getting a quality player like that here that ultimately helped win an MLS Cup?
Yeah, I think in that situation, you know, the number one thing is you have to get a head coach on board. And in Columbus, you know, we had a head coach that believed in Lucas, and we'd had some other targets that we liked that were a little bit younger, but, the head coach at that stage, spoke very highly of him and said he wanted to get him. So in the end there, you have to just make sure that you have a budget going in and what you're willing to spend and what the ownership group is willing to spend. And Tim Bezbatchenko helped with that, certainly. Knowing what we could spend. We actually went down the road with another player fairly far, but couldn't get it over the line. And fortunately for us, for Columbus at that time, the right player got picked.
Okay, so that was part one of our interview with Pat Onstad. We have more to come with him. Before we go to break, though, a quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. Leasing and buying a BMW can be easy at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there. Advantage BMW Midtown is going to take you through the entire process. They'll get you in a 3, a 5, a 7 series, maybe an SUV. Advantage BMW Midtown covers you with sales, service, finance. It can be done real easy. Get that Houston hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. You'll always hear me say, go and see Steven and Justin. Advantage BMW Midtown, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Part 2 of Pat Onstad coming up.
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Hi, Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations with the Danish Dynamite sequence at Soccer Matters. Yes, the big news of the week for Danish soccer and U.S. soccer is that Michael Ure, the striker from Brøndby, signed with Philadelphia Union. Michael Ure is a national team player and a top scorer in the Danish Superliga last year. He's a great spy for Philadelphia Union, and they got him in front of Dortmund and Stuttgart and a couple of Belgian clubs that also had made offers on him. And I think that is great that a U.S. club like Philadelphia Union can get in front of the European clubs and get some of the top players. So I look very much forward to watch Michael Ure play for Philadelphia Union. I just wish it was Houston Dynamo who got him, but so be it. And remember, we have $200 off on selected stressless chairs this month. So come on in and sit in a stressless chair at Danish Inspirations. Also, the big news on the front page of the Danish papers is that Christian Eriksen is about to sign or has signed with Brentford from the Premier League. So Christian Eriksen will be back on the field after some extensive medical checkups. And that's awesome because there's already 7 Danish players in Brentford and he will be number 8. And hopefully he can get back to his old standards and help Brentford out. So come on into Danish Inspirations and see our selection of great modern contemporary furniture. And remember, we are red, we are white, we are Danish Dynamite. DanishInspirations.com.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to all of you who have tuned in here tonight. Hey, a quick reminder, you get the podcast to this show at ESPN975.com. And the great producer, Andrew Carlson, gets that up very quickly after every show. Danish Inspirations. Don't forget to head over to Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture on Fondren. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture should be on your bucket list of furniture shopping. Longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, Danish Inspirations Jan Christensen presents the best selection of modern contemporary furniture, including the Stressless line. Jan just got back from Denmark. Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture, 2775 Fondren, danishinspirations.com. All right, part two with Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Is it tougher for you to negotiate deals within the league? And probably I would imagine it's a little less internationally, but is it tougher being a team that was last in the Western Conference last year? I mean, do people feel they can try to take advantage of you guys because of where you are and get you to maybe overpay or overcommit in deals?
Yeah, and the rookie GM as well. You want to get tested out a little bit.
I wouldn't say you're a rookie.
It's interesting. When you're one of the top teams, everybody wants your players. Your players are the best players in the league. When you're one of the weaker teams, then unfortunately no one wants your players and you certainly can't get full value for them. So it does make it difficult to make moves. One of the other things for us is, they made a very, very hard push at the end to try to make this team work and try to get into the playoffs. So a lot of the money that you maybe could spend to try to get a trade within the league is not there right now. For us, we'd have to pull that forward from next year. And that to us, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I think we could pull a little bit of money forward, but we don't want to commit all of next year's money for right now. And then we're stuck next year back in square one again. So our plan, we're kind of limited in those games, you know, with the Paul Areola sweepstakes. We're never in that running. We're not able to spend $2 million in GAM to try to get a player of that quality. So we have to kind of pick and choose at who we're going after, and we have to make sure we get it right. So the biggest thing for us is not to rush into decisions. We took our time with Sebastian for her. And I think we made a really good choice. The same token, the other players that we're talking about, we're going to take our time and make sure that we get these players right. That's the most important thing.
Pat, your sporting director, Asher Mendelson, came out and was talking about the international spot acquired from San Jose and obviously the flexibility that brings. How much urgency is there, you know, to get another big signing before we kick things off February 27th?
Well, we're hoping to get someone in the building by then. That's the plan. I don't know if we get two in the building, but hopefully one. The window doesn't close until April 20th, so we have some time to get the second one in. But we expect to get both in before the window closes, and that we'll be able to build with this group going into the summer.
Are these higher profile type signings based on the context of where we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, the irony with all the lack of GAM and the lack of salary cap space is actually going out and getting a designated player that costs roughly $600 against your cap. And then it's the ownership spend, whatever the owner wants to pay. So, for example, you know, Seba is only $600 against the cap. It's not that difficult to manage that. And then a YPS player is only $200. So, the cap number is not much. It's more now going to ownership and saying, can we have this money to spend? And, hopefully the fans have seen and the media have seen so far is that we're very fortunate to have an owner that is willing to spend and help us get better. So we have a budget that we've proposed and that's been agreed upon between ownership and management. And now we're excited to go spend that money and try to find the right guys to help improve this team.
Yeah, that must be exciting for you as a GM to have these resources and really be able to think about things. Now, obviously, you've got a list of players that you're tracking, you're following. I mean, I think you were tracking Sebastian Ferreira before you even got to Houston, for all I know.
Yeah.
Are there some interesting prospects on that list? Obviously, you're not going to give anything away, but this seems to be the biggest piece of interest for Dynamo fans.
Yeah, I think, yes, there are. And I think there's some, like I said, one of them will be young and one will be a designated player. I don't know what the age will be, probably 23 or older, that we can almost guarantee, or 24 and older. Or it could be a young designated player, depending on the profile, which would be 23 years old. But we're excited about the prospect because we're shopping in a it's a nice store to go shopping in. It was Neiman and Marcus. It's a nice store. You know, we're not shopping at the bottom basement store. So we're excited about who we get to look at. We have lots of options at this stage, and now it's really about just narrowing down the profile, finding exactly what Paulo feels is the best player in the best position, the best fit for our club.
Pat Onstad joining us. We had my friend John Kerr, who's the coach at Duke. I'm sure you know John.
Yes, yeah.
We had him on talking about Thor, the striker that you guys drafted. Is this a kid you expect to get minutes in MLS in the first year? I mean, can you go out on a limb and say that at this point?
I would be hesitant, or would have been really hesitant a few weeks ago, but watching him this last 8-9 days, I think he's going to have an opportunity to get on the field. I do. He's a bit older than some guys that get drafted, and he's had pro experience in the sense that he's been in a pro environment in Iceland. While it's not MLS level, it's still a pro environment. So I think what Thor has and the advantage he has over a lot of these college kids is that he's seen a pro environment. You know what it's like. So he's not overawed by the moment. And he saw that part of that's his confidence, which we've seen on video, on YouTube video. So he's got that swagger about him too, but that's what you need with forwards. And, the one thing that impressed me is we had a fitness test in terms of kind of a mass run, a maximum run to see how far they can go in a certain time frame. And he was fifth, which is pretty unheard of for a striker. So, especially a kid coming out of college. So that was impressive. And it showed that he was prepared and ready to go when camp started.
Pat, this may be a bit of a strange question, but now that the under 23 team is back here, I mean, that to me is a huge piece of the overall picture here. However it happened, right? Down in the Rio Grande Valley, from a player development standpoint, it was a tough thing to sell to people, I think, that understand what it takes to develop soccer players. Would you have taken this job if there wasn't an under 23 team and reserve team in place, in-house, where you can monitor your players? Because this is a big tool you guys have now.
Yeah, that's a good question because I never really even thought of it. And I think part of it was the fact in Columbus, we were doing the same, starting a new team. So I think that was just part of my pathway thought process. And I knew before I even took this job that that was the plan that was in place. So I don't know if I can answer your question, what I've taken if there wasn't in place. I certainly would have advocated to have that in place. But it does help with the pathway. You know, the Juan Castillas is, and I've gone on record saying this, last year was almost a lost year for him. You know, he needed to be able to get games week in, week out. You know, obviously he got a last part of this last couple of games of the season, he got some minutes just to get on the field, but that's not developing. Developing is playing week in, week out and actually working on your craft and getting better. And, you know, we have some ideas with that team. I think, Kenny Bundy's the coach is going to be, it's exciting that he's going to be taking that group. And, what we're trying to do is push the envelope a little bit in that group. I don't think you'll necessarily see exactly mimicked of what we're doing in the first team, but I think we want to push some of these kids. Like Juan Castilla, if he's going down, for example, we're going to put the number 10 jersey on him and put some stress on him, put some pressure on him. Like, we want him to be the man and down there and show that he can do that. And that's, if he wants to play in MLS, he needs to be able to do that and on the second team. So it's exciting, I think, for the club and certainly for these young kids that have come through our academy, that now there's a clear pathway for them.
And it'll be utilized in a lot of different ways, I'm sure. I mean, I think the beauty for me is if these kids are out there playing and they see Pat Onstad and the staff sit down in the stands, that's a different type of pressure. It's obviously great for you to monitor your players.
Yeah, it's nice for me to know. Like, I'm still learning. The academy guys, they do a great job of kind of keeping me up to date of what's going on. And I would say for me, I'm very fortunate. I only have 15 minutes up the road. So that's been really nice. Being able to pop down and see the occasional academy game quickly is really nice. And I do think the longer we're here and the clearer the pathway is, it certainly helps for identification. If we're saying, hey, we need to get a young guy for this wide position, but there's also old guys available and we know we have young players coming through. Well, why block that player with a young player? Maybe we go get the veteran that we know can maybe push our first team a little bit quicker over the line, but we know in 2 years' time, we've got a 15-year-old that's going to be playing in the first team. So it's important for us to understand each player and how they develop, but also give them a chance to develop and reach their potential.
Pat, historically, the Dynamo have not moved players through to the first team. Is there a timeline that you have in your head? Have you been able to even get yourself wrapped around that yet with trying to get things in order with the staff where we might begin to see more locals running out of that tunnel at PNC Stadium?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a timeline in place. I think when players are ready to play for the first team, we'll do it. The nice thing is one of the reasons we hired Paulo is he has a track record of playing young kids and moving them up to the first team. So he has a pretty good idea of how the pathway works. He still wants to win games. That's the bottom line. The first team is about winning games. Development is a small piece of that, but in the end, if that player isn't ready to go and help the first team win, then that player is not going to get minutes. So we have to do a good job in the second team to make sure that these guys are ready to be successful, be competitive, be able to compete at that level and help contribute to winning games with the first team. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing our job preparing them for what lies ahead of them in the MLS.
Pat, how's Paulo doing so far in preseason as a head coach?
He's undefeated. He's perfect. Perfect. He's doing great. Now, listen, he's been a pleasure to work with. I think you've had him on the show, and you get to know him a little bit. He's a very open individual, kind, caring, cares about the players individually. It's important for him to develop these personal relationships with players. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of energy for coaches. But I think when the coaches do that and they're willing to kind of put their heart and soul into it, get to know these guys as individuals, it really helps. And it helps to be successful. So, you know, we're working hard here behind the scenes. I think one of the big shifts we're having here is we're really trying to change the culture here, and it's not easy and it doesn't happen overnight. But we're fortunate. We have a bunch of great players, a bunch of players that are open and want change, a great staff here that are going to try to help make this team successful.
Your staff as well, obviously a lot of experience there. I mean, that's obviously a move at changing the culture as well, I would assume.
Yes, it is. And I think bringing guys from whether they were successful in their playing careers, coaching careers, or in successful environments is important. And I think the other point for Paulo is to make sure that he has a staff that he trusts that he's comfortable with. They know how he works, especially when we hired him fairly late in the process. You know, just before Christmas is when we agreed to terms. It's important that he feels comfortable. He's 130 days in right now from when he got hired. So for him, if we'd gone and hired a bunch of other staff that he doesn't know, I think it makes it very difficult for him. So you can see already these guys have been working together and they understand each other. So it's been nice for the players to be able to see that, and they're all on the same page out there. It's been pleasant to watch.
Pat, the combination of healthy pressure, making sure coming to work every day is enjoyable. I mean, these are things you're trying to put in place, correct? Because let's be honest, there is a real pressure to turn things around.
It is. And I think part of it is competition for places. And that's one thing. I mean, we didn't really talk about it too much, but, you know, Adam Lundqvist being healthy for a full season will help us. Corey Baird now is back and playing. And he's a guy who played one game for us last year after what was a pretty significant trade in league trade for the club. So, you know, these are guys, yes, while we're not rubber so far, we've Seb up top, Steve Clark, we've brought in some depth guys. But I think Corey and Adam are almost like new signings for us to get these guys on the field for hopefully 30, 34 games. So, we're trying to create competition for places. Guys have to fight for minutes. One of the things we implemented in training out here is a competition where they're keeping track of scores and how guys are doing and points and whatnot. And so that just got posted today for the first time. So there's a leader. There's a couple of leaders in there that you wouldn't have expected, but it's good. So there's a lot of trash talking going on today on the field. It was good. It was enjoyable to watch.
Pat, as always, we thank you very much for your time. This is a great piece here. A lot of good information for not only myself, but Dynamo fans and all of our listeners. Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm here on Soccer Matters. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might work in a refinery or drive an 18-wheeler, you need the Daspit Law Firm. Call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, and they're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends on your case. Get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, the great presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters. Okay, podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at Soccer Matters GD, at Glenn Davis Sock. Same thing on Instagram, Facebook Soccer Matters. To learn more about the host, it's GlennDavisSoccer.com. For Andrew Carlson, all of you great soccer fans, thank you for tuning in tonight. Hit up the podcast if you missed any part of this two-hour show. And until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.